Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to...
Believe It!
Or not!
Or,
Don't scare me like
I'm
that.
Sorry. It is the season.
It's true.
You know, the reason for the season.
Satan.
I was going to say... miniature chocolate bars.
Those are good.
Satan too.
Because every time I eat a chocolate bar before, like the rest of the year, I'm like, ah, oh, this size, it's a good size, but it's just not fun. It's not a fun size.
Do you ever get like a full size chocolate bar and you get like 3/4 of the way through and you're like, this is probably too much and I shouldn't have had that, but then you get the fun size ones and you eat 12 of them and you feel fine?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. It's because they're fun size.
I guess
you don't,
so.
Can't have too much fun.
I guess when you're just eating one bite at a time, you don't think about it. But when you're eating one big long boy, you're like, maybe I should have stopped.
When you... I was going to make an inappropriate penis joke there.
Well,
about
that's
oral
true.
Sex.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're more about quantity than length.
Yeah. quality... the Five Iron Frenzy album, quantity is job one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lower one of these.
Yeah, we got a little loud there, eh?
That's okay.
Oopsie.
Sexy. Damien, do you...
trick or treat.
Let's play a game from your other podcast. Oh. Do you believe in ghosts?
I'm sure you know this by now, but I do not.
Me neither.
Nor do I want to.
No.
All ghosts are just bozos.
Yeah.
They're just hanging out, doing nothing, doing stupid shit, harassing people for no reason.
Yeah.
Half the time, they don't know what they're doing, it seems like. They're just, like, bumping into walls. They suck.
I was going through a tiki-taki. You know
tiki-taki?
Yeah.
Tic-tac-toe.
And there was a person, a local person, who was a paranormal investigator.
I didn't know if you were saying poor, if you were going to say porn. I was very confused.
I was going to say a poor porn paranormal investigator.
A poor porn paranormal investigator.
No, but they're just a regular paranormal investigator.
That's a good warm-up exercise.
Yeah.
The poor porn paranormal investigator proposed to the porpoise purposefully.
And I don't think this person actually was very scientific in their methods.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
I'm doubtful, too,
because I think there is a way you can be a paranormal investigator and be scientific, but I think your results are going to be that you can't find any ghosts because you're being scientific.
I feel like this is like the flat earth people, where more often than not, you're just kind of finding the opposite is true.
Yeah, I love seeing those videos of like flat earthers trying to prove that the earth is flat and then accidentally proving the earth is round.
Yeah, that's what that whole behind the curve thing. They set up the whole experiment, and then at the end, they found out it was curved. Oh, so good.
But yeah, because like, I mean, one of the things too, and we'll get into more of this, but I think a lot of the equipment that they use to test ghosts, mm-hmm. they just get it, and it's like, when it does this beep, that means there's a ghost. So they use it, and it gets that beep, and they're like, see, there's a ghost. It's like, well, but you haven't established that that beep means there's a ghost.
No, well, that's the problem, too. Like, so much of this stuff, it's like, you know how much, like, especially today, with the amount of electronics and, like, Wi-Fi signals, Bluetooth signals, and radio signals, and all these things, and microwaves, and all this shit. There's so much interference.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're picking up.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think ghosts, like, from the lore, they don't sound very smart. So how are they so good at being hidden?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Right. I guess my thing, too, is, like, so many people come back to the idea of that, it's energy. It's residual energy left behind.
Yeah.
But we have never been able to record that energy. We've never been able to officially observe it. I think it was Brian Cox who was saying that about that.
The actor?
No.
Succession?
Doctor, he's a physicist, doctor. Right?
Yeah.
He did a thing where he was talking about the Large Hadron Collider and was basically saying something along the lines of that if we haven't detected any of that energy with this, we're not going to.
Yeah.
And they haven't.
No,
they haven't. They're not going to because there is no energy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Energy, I guess, because it's not. There's nothing quantifiable.
Exactly. And I say all this and then realize that these people that we're going to talk about weren't ghost hunters. They were demon hunters. So I kind of missed the mark.
Well, there's an overlap there though, is, I feel like. I feel like we talk about a lot of that where it kind of comes between the two.
Yeah, it does. I think, and a lot of people like will blame things on ghosts, and then somebody else will be like, actually, that's a demon, and I'll be like, actually, you're both wrong.
it's nothing.
Yeah. You like the Conjuring films?
I've seen them. They're fine.
Yeah.
Are we talking about them?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. Ed and Lorraine Warren.
These pieces of trash.
These pieces of absolute
garbage. So the movies
garbage.
Make them look like. Cool, well, not cool, but the good guys, because they're like, see, we're just a couple of hard-working folks trying to stop some demons.
Yeah.
They're not, though.
They are not.
Right.
No. So Ed Warren was born on September 7th, 1926, and he died on August 23rd, 2006.
Hmm.
And Lorraine Rita Warren was born January 31st, 1927, and died on April 18th, 2019.
Whoa, just after my birthday.
Whoa.
Wow.
It's actually on my sister's birthday.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Happy belated.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things to do is just go on somebody's page that had a birthday like 6 months ago and just write happy belated birthday.
Can't believe I missed this.
It's a fun game. So in 1952, they started the New England Society for Psychic Research, the NESPR.
NESPR.
It's the... Oh, they do call themselves a ghost hunting group. So there's... Okay. So they're the oldest ghost hunting group in New England, which you'd think, like, if ghosts were real, New England is probably, like, ghost central, right? Because you got Salem and... other,
I guess,
known like spooky places. You'd think there'd be some older organization, but I guess 1952.
I mean, there probably were, but they just didn't, you know.
Yeah, because they couldn't find any ghosts,
or it was just the church.
Yeah, exactly. In the 90s, Stephen Novella of Skeptic Guide to the Universe, known skeptic, spent some time with them. So we'll refer to that article a couple times. What he says is their website proudly proclaims that our mission is to move the area of psychic phenomena out of the dark ages into the mainstream of rigorous scientific thought and inquiry. Yet upon inspection, their methods lack the components of genuine scientific inquiry, or even the most fundamental attempt at scientific rigor. Rather than an earnest search for the truth, regardless of what may be, their society seeks only to support their prior assumption.
A priori.
What you said. that the phenomenon is real.
Color me surprised.
Yeah.
That they're not actually following any scientific method.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's just a bunch of hokey bullshit.
It's a bunch of hooey. See? Yeah.
This is what it means.
Yeah.
It's like, but that does it, though?
Yeah.
Wow.
So what they would do is basically they'd look for reports of hauntings, mm-hmm. Or demons or possessions, and then they'd go to that area, they'd go to that house and offer their services for free as paranormal researchers and paranormal supports, and then basically find a way to make money off it.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly exploiting people's fears and beliefs with it, right?
Yeah.
They come in, they play the good guys, like, we're doing this for free, we don't want anything, and then they take advantage of that once they've gained their trust even more.
Yep.
And then they're like, see, you were right, it's spooky, we'll help you, but now it'll cost you.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, it's, well, it costs in that, like, they get all the movie rights, they get all the book rights.
Yeah.
They, yeah, we'll help you out, but we're going to tell our story and we're going to make a lot of money off of it.
Did they make money off the Conjuring movies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And they did. Lorraine was an advisor on it. She worked for them. Yeah.
Who's the main guy in those movies? Because he's also in
Patrick Watson or Wilson?
Yeah, because he's in the another franchise, right?
Another
horror franchise he's in. And I never really remembered.
Oh, okay.
Because they just kind of
Together. They meld together, yeah. Oh, I don't remember.
Was it Insidious?
Isn't that Handsome Hawk?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's Handsome Hawk.
He's in it.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look at that.
Look at that, indeed.
Would you look at that? Oh, I was thinking of. It doesn't matter. I was thinking of a different one.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
So do you know Annabelle?
Mm-hmm.
The movie franchise. Yeah. That's based on a real doll that was really evil.
Well, dolls really are kind of creepy.
Yeah, they are creepy. My mom used to make porcelain dolls. And
make
like
porcelain dolls?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, she would buy the head and then she would make the dress for it and stuff like that.
I mean, that's creepy too.
Put the hair on it and stuff like that. But she, so she'd store it all in the living room. And especially if she had a craft sale, she would have craft sales in our living room. So she'd set it all up. And then, so our living room just became the most creepy place on planet Earth. It was pretty scary.
Did people ever actually like porcelain dolls, or was it just something that people had because they didn't have anything better?
I don't know, because they're creepy. They're creepy as all hell. So they said, that two roommates claimed that their Raggedy Ann doll was possessed by the spirit of a young girl named Annabelle Higgins. Higgins.
Oh, so it was a Raggedy Ann.
It's a Raggedy Ann doll.
But yeah. Brandon, and they couldn't do that.
Exactly.
And yeah. So they made it a porcelain doll to make it creepier.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of people think that, okay, so you know the episode of the evil Krusty doll episode of The Simpsons?
Yeah.
That's based on a Twilight Zone episode
called
The Living Doll that came out in the early 60s. It was 7 years before they started claiming that this doll was haunted that this episode came out. And in the episode, the mom's name was Annabelle.
Okay.
So a lot of people think they just stole it directly from...
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then just created stories around it. Because they'll tell people, like, that the last owner or the last person to touch it or something like that, or the last owner, somebody died in a motorcycle accident, but they've never actually been able to confirm who it was and when the accident happened. And there's... Yeah, it's... People have tried to track down these supposed hauntings behind the Annabelle doll, but they're all just made up.
Yeah,
as far as I can tell.
Of course they are.
Yeah. The first Conjuring movie is based on the Perrin family. This was in Harrisville, Rhode Island. The Perrin family, they thought they were haunted. The Warrens came in for the rescue to help them get rid of this demon that was in their house. It's more likely, because in the movie they were shown as like a loving family and the husband was just worried about his demon-possessed wife or whatever. But in reality, he was really abusive, and especially emotionally abusive. And she was very sick with really bad arthritis. On top of that, having an abusive husband, she had a mental break. That's pretty much the real story of how it happened. And
I'm skimming some of your notes here. And the thing that really struck out to me, he screamed at her more and more, especially if she just disagreed with him about Nixon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He liked Nixon. She wasn't a fan. And so he would freak out at her.
Jeez.
And the current owner of the house claims that there's no way any of the story is true and just nothing lines up with.
Well, he's probably just not open to the experience, oh, and that's why he hasn't seen anything.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have to, be like open to it. Otherwise, you won't see a ghost or nothing.
Well, if I
right.
So then, why would I want to be open to it?
I don't know.
It's too scary.
But I mean, if the only way that it affects you is if you're open to it, then how can that actually be something
exactly.
other than your imagination?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I've had people say that to me with like such anger and vehemence. Oh, and I'm just like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah, if something's real, if something actually happens, you don't have to be in a special mindset in order to see it. Like if that's a real thing, then it's a real thing and you can see it.
Exactly. Your mindset does not affect how a thing occurs.
Yeah.
And if it does, then it's probably in your mind.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. But here we are.
Here we are. Their most famous case probably is the 1975 Amityville Horror.
Oh, they were part of the Amityville Horror?
Yeah, so that was their rise to fame. Basically, what happened was there was a brutal murder in this house, and then the next owners basically bought it because of that and then created a story around it to be spooky. And then they swooped in to also make money on it. The satanic panic was huge at the time. So they put in a bunch of elements of satanic ritual abuse and satanic symbols and things like that. But later it was pretty much confirmed that the Lutzes, the people in the house, just came up with it themselves as a way to make money, and then the Warrens swooped in to help them make money off the situation.
And I guess it worked.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, they said that he was demon-possessed, and he was trying to kill the family and all that stuff, but it was just a story they made up over wine.
Who was in the original Amityville?
Ryan Reynolds.
I don't think that's
right.
I don't think that's what it was. Original work, 1977. Let's see, where is it? Why can't I find it? Cast: James Brolin.
Ooh.
That's who it was. Yes,
Brolin.
I knew it was someone. I'm like, who is this? I know who it is.
And it spawned a lot of sequels. Mm-hmm. They have, people. I was going to say they have ghost tours, but I just read that wrong. well, that's another thing, too, is like the new owner of the parent house has also sued Warner Brothers because people keep coming to the house wanting to like see demons or whatever, see ghosts. And yeah, I don't know if she's probably as angry as the person who owns the Breaking Bad house, but.
Because people kept throwing pizzas on the roof. Yeah. That's so funny. You know what I always find funny about like a lot of those things? Like people do like haunted walks and stuff, which are, you know, they're fun little things to do.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that more often than not, the people doing those walks make up half the stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
well, what?
How is this any different?
Exactly. And what's frustrating with those is when they say that it's not for kids and that you're allowed to swear.
Yeah, but then you can't.
But then as soon as I say big fat load of cum,
mm-hmm.
I'm shut down.
Jizz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not trying to make anybody have the worst day at their jobs. So they participated in a psychic slumber party 2 months after the Lutzes abandoned their new home in the middle of the night, and they were followed by a camera crew. And they got everybody really tired, and they took some photographs, which we'll get to in a minute. But they say they captured an entity, but most people say it's just one of the crew members.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I've been getting flyers from a psychic put on my car recently.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's always fun.
How do they not know you don't want that?
Yeah, you know, you'd think that, right?
Yeah. Oh, and actually, I have confirmed, too. There is a TikTok of somebody, and they were asked. So somebody in their comments asked if Ed and Lorraine Warren are frauds. Mm-hmm. So she did a tarot card reading and discovered that they actually are frauds.
Whoa!
Yeah,
tarot told the truth.
Yeah. So.
But wait, I don't believe in tarot, so I can't.
Shit! It's like you ever get those videos where it's like the person with this first initial. is secretly mad at you, or the person with this first initial is looking down on you from heaven.
I haven't gotten that one.
Oh, okay. It's always a J or it's an M.
Because of Jesus and Mary?
My parents.
Oh, your parents.
They're J names. So.
Oh, are they?
They're looking down on me from heaven. Mm. Yeah.
I get the emails where it's just like personalized things where it's like my last name. So I'd be like, the Depping Clan is a cool clan full of hardcore people ready to do anything for each other. You know, like those like, big t-shirts with all the text. Oh, like, yeah. What is this shit?
Too wordy.
Why are they doing this? I don't want this.
I was thinking, okay, so we'll get back to the show in a sec. But there's Shirt Punch, which doesn't do my merch, so I don't know why I'm promoting them. But anyways, so you can get the cheaper shirt when you buy other shirts.
Like
so
it's the mystery one?
The mystery shirt, and it's a lot cheaper. Oh, I always get those when I buy shirts.
Why not?
But one of them I got recently was very wordy, like a lot of words on it, which I'm not a fan of shirts that have like too much words. And I realize why. It's because when you're socially awkward and then you have to stand there as
someone
comes
it?
Up to you like, what does that say? oh, interesting. Oh, and what does that mean? It's like, I don't want to have a conversation with
you. That's true. That's like I have that you can go to hell, I'm going to Toyota-thon shirt. I feel like it's got enough. And then there's like a bunch of little fine print that, you know, if someone wants to, they can read it. but I'm fine with just you can go to hell.
I mean, the best shirt of all time is I'd rather be listening to Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas
from
Matchbox 20.
Yeah.
But
you don't need a conversation about that.
No. Everybody
you need
knows.
A jam sesh.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And then in 1977, the Enfield poltergeist is what happened. In Enfield, North London, and this is the subject of the second Conjuring movie, where some kids in London, England, said that they were being haunted by demons in their house. There's like photos of the girl levitating over her bed.
Yeah.
She's just jumping on her bed. they were caught faking some evidence, but they said that's just they faked some of it, but the rest is real. Mm-hmm. And then later on, one of the women said that when she was a girl, she did fake some of it, but there was a real demon as well.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. As soon as you say, yes, I faked some of it, but some of it was also real, I'm like, it was all fake.
It was all fake. Yeah.
Don't, no. You're trying to like halfway, you're trying to have your cake and eat it too in that situation where you're like, I was being a little dishonest, but actually I was also not being dishonest.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
There was a guy named Guy Lion Playfair.
Guy Lion Playfair. I don't know if that's what
and
it is,
he went alongside with Maurice Gross, and they were parapsychologists who investigated it, and they said the film very much exaggerated the Warrens' role in the investigation. They only showed up for like one day. Like, in the movie, they're there, and they're like, we'll be there for you for all times. But they showed up for one day. The family wasn't really interested in working with them, but they still managed to get all the movie rights and the book rights and all that stuff and made a ton of money off of it, even though they were barely involved. And also, it was fake. Arnie Johnson was the subject of the third Conjuring movie, The Devil Made Me Do It. Also, barely happened like it did in the movie. It didn't work. For one, he went to jail because the devil made me do it is not a defense. There is no devil.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think I've seen this one. I think I've seen most of these movies.
But they're enjoyable movies.
They're not bad.
Just, yeah.
Again, they're also like, they're not memorable enough that I remember everything about them. I remember a few little things, and then that's about it.
They're no The Pope's Exorcist.
I've heard it's great, and it is out.
Yeah, I saw it last night.
Is it good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a lot.
I'm going to have to watch it.
Again, cheesy, and they did expose, like, they did say that the Catholic Church did bad things, and they did talk about that, which these things never do. They always act like the church is like this holy thing. And that's the thing too, Ed and Lorraine are Catholic, and my favorite line in The Conjuring 2 is it's something like the church only works in truth. It's like, oh well.
All right, which church are we talking about? Yeah, here, because exactly. I don't think we're talking about the same church.
Yeah. And they were Catholic, but then if a priest came in and said, no, we're not going to do an exorcism, then people would call in the Lorraines or the Warrens. And it's like, but you're Catholic. You think that the Catholic Church knows what they're talking about, yet you'll still go in and do an exorcism yourself?
Well, maybe they feel like the church knows what they're talking about, but their hands are tied and they can't take some of these cases.
That's,
and that's why they have to come in and do the dirty work for the church.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's probably how they justify it.
Mm-hmm. So the Snedeker House?
Snedeker
was, it's the subject of the Haunting in Connecticut movie.
Okay.
From 2009, and that's before the Conjuring movie started, but it was them too. It was based on them, but
they got their fingers in all these things.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like haunted house in the U.S., it's just like, there they are.
There they are.
London, I guess.
Well, because they're like ambulance chases, but for ghosts. Yeah.
Right. Well, you don't need to chase an ambulance for a ghost.
That's true.
Ambulance is long gone. Yeah.
Unless it's like a ghost that haunts
an ambulance. A haunted ambulance. That's
like
true.
Like that ghost in the show Ghosts, starring Cody Crane, that, was haunting the car.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, like Christine from the movie Christine.
Yes, yes.
By Stephen King.
Hmm. My sister's name is Christine. So basically this place was built on a car? Funeral home. And they said that, is this the one that was based on a funeral home? Yeah. And they went in and exorcised all the demons and got a book deal. The neighbor upstairs never noticed any ghosts. There was like somebody renting the apartment up above their house, and they never noticed any ghosts. And there was a lot of issues with the family leading up to that. But still, they just took them out at their word that there was a haunting in Connecticut. And then the writer of the book, so they hired a writer to write the book about what happened with the family. And he's like, yeah, this family is crazy. None of their stories match up. Nothing makes any sense. And Ed's like, just take the basics, write a scary story, and we're fine. That's all we need is a scary story.
I mean, that's how you do it, right?
Yeah.
You know, you just go around, you exploit people's fears, and then you make a spooky story and a lot of money off of it. We should do that. That'd be fun, right?
Yeah.
Ride around the country on a motorcycle solving ghost crime.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, with the Devil Made Me Do It thing, is the family was very upset because this guy definitely had mental health issues and needed to get help. Instead of somebody coming in and convincing them that the demon was real, he needed help. Mm-hmm. And they denied him that to make money.
So right.
And he eventually did get help in prison and he did get better. And they used that as, exercising the demon worked, when it's really like, no, getting away from you is what worked.
Yeah. Getting proper help is what helped. Not... Yeah. Your quackery, which probably extended his problems.
Yeah, exactly. Union Cemetery is pretty fun. There's the White Lady of the Cemetery. It's just an old, like, story about this cemetery in New England. in Connecticut, and they have a video of this particular
of the
ghost,
white lady,
of the white lady in Union Cemetery.
Have you seen it?
I have.
Is it real?
There is a very shaky, blurry camera, and there is something white moving in it.
So it's definitely a lady in white.
Yeah.
A white lady.
And so Steve Novella talks about this in the article, too, because they showed him the video, but they wouldn't let anybody else take the video and analyze it in any sort of way.
Right.
Until they died. Until Ed and Lorraine were dead, and then somebody released it. Their son-in-law released it. It's like the Bigfoot thing. It's like, you know, all those other kind of UFO videos, things like that, where it's like, yeah, any kind of scrutiny, it's not that. But to them it was. So before they died, they would only let people watch it in their house.
And I mean, how, like, you know, you have friends over for dinner and it's like, you want to see the white lady video?
Yeah.
Like, not really, man. No. Can we just order a pizza and then, you know, hang out, play some cards?
Yeah.
Why do we have to watch this white lady video in your projector room?
Yeah, exactly. And one of my favorites is they wrote a book, or they told a story, and then somebody wrote a book about the time they exorcised a werewolf demon. They said they encountered a werewolf demon, and they wrote a book about it, and they have never produced the name of the person who had this werewolf demon inside them or anything.
So what's a werewolf? Is it a werewolf? Is that's also a demon?
Think he turned into an actual wolf, according to them.
He was just possessed by a demon that was werewolf-like.
It was werewolf-like, I guess.
And it had no physical effect on him, but just gave him the spirit of a werewolf.
Nibble people's toes in the night.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a werepuppy. Yeah, what? Yeah, they never produced any photos or anything like that. Yeah, I don't know if they said he actually turned into anything, because they should have been shut down immediately if that's what their claim was. I mean, they should have been shut down anyway. But
I'm so confused by this one.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, was it a werewolf? Was it a werewolf demon? Was it a demon that was like a werewolf? I don't know. I guess we'll have to read the book and find out.
Yeah, exactly. The Extraordinary Exorcism of a Werewolf from a Man's Body. Werewolf, a True Story of Demonic Possession.
So it wasn't, he didn't turn into a werewolf.
No.
He was possessed by a werewolf.
Yeah.
Which I feel like we're crossing lore here that doesn't really translate.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Why would there be a werewolf demon at all?
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess if a werewolf bit a demon, it would become a werewolf demon.
Right.
Wow. Every full moon.
Have you ever seen a picture of a ghost? Like where that somebody claims is a picture of a ghost?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I have a family member who showed me a picture once because their ex-boyfriend lived next to an Amish graveyard.
Okay.
And she showed me this picture and there was a splotch on it. And she said, doesn't this look, would you say this looks like the ghost of an Amish person?
What?
And I was like, sorry, what? And she's like, this picture here, doesn't it look like the ghost of an Amish person? I'm like, it looks like there's like a speck or something on the lens. She goes, what are the chances of that, though?
Very high.
Yeah, I was like,
that,
way
that's
higher
why
than
most people think. Like any photography was like that is just from bad exposure and weird things with the film, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever have those disposable cameras that put like ghosts in the photos?
Oh, not that added the ghost, but yeah.
Yeah, they were like specific little ones, and then they would have like a little thing in the front or in the foreground, and it would have like a little like fadey ghost in the pictures.
Yeah.
So it made it look like your pictures were haunted.
Yeah.
Back when disposable cameras were a thing.
When they would give instructions, sorry, on how to take psychic photographs, Lorraine and Ed, and let's see, they said, they have helpful hints. Load your camera after you get to the site. They believe that this gives recognition to the spirits and gives them maximum opportunity to imprint on the film. Use an autofocus or fixed focus camera with an automatic flash. The more powerful the flash, the better. Assuming you are successful in taking psychic photos, you want to be able to rule out clouds, the moon, and so forth as the origin of your psychic photos. But really what happens is when you turn the flash on, you're going to get some light coming back into the lens.
Yeah.
When you put the flash on full.
Yeah, you're more likely going to get things affecting the photo.
Yeah, and when you load it there, you're more likely to get dust and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're already in, like, a dark space, which you probably are when you're ghost hunting.
Yeah. So they're just setting you up to be more likely to have splotches on your camera. Yeah. Stephen Avella, he said, flashback is simply light from the camera flash reflected back into the lens, causing a hazy, overexposed region of the film. The result is often wispy, blurry light image on the film.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. Stephen Avella in the article says that it seems like they really believe what they're doing. But I think that was before a lot of stuff was really exposed and how they faked it.
Yeah, I'm always kind of like, for things like this, especially on this scale, when they say it seems like they really believe, it's like, no, that's just, that's how they marketed it.
Exactly.
They had to seem like they believed. Otherwise, nobody would have bought it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a key for psychics and people like that, is to make people trust you enough that they want to believe, at least that you believe.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So they said the Warrens refused to allow members from the Skeptical Society to shadow them on any paranormal investigation or to examine the evidence. Mm. And they widely claimed that they have, proving the existence of paranormal phenomena. When he was pressed, he said, "You can't have scientific evidence for a spiritual phenomenon." That's what he said when he's pressed.
You can't.
It's like,
why?
Can you or can't you? Like, isn't that the whole point of what you do?
Yeah, I thought that's what you were doing, was scientifically proving that they're real, but then saying that you can't scientifically prove they're real deflates that whole argument. Then what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. They have their little paranormal museum in their house. It's, and they have a bunch of stuff that they've taken from
a bunch of old shit.
And they say that if you touch anything when you're in there going through, you have to let them know so that they can remove that bad aura from you before you leave.
Does that cost you anything?
Probably.
I bet it does. Okay, it's going to be $42.93 to get rid of all the bad aura. You touch three different things. That's $12.14 a piece, plus tax, plus delivery.
It's like, it's like the you break it, you bought it kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you get a demon, you bought it. In 2013, after the release of The Conjuring, so they had somebody who worked for them in this museum and lived with them in their house. And she came forward and said, I wasn't just an employee. I was Ed's live-in lover who he groomed when she was 15 years old.
Oh, my God.
And then she lived with them for 40 years.
That's fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Lorraine was still alive at the time, and she denied it and said that it was just her trying to get money or whatever. But don't they always deny it, I mean? But yeah, she was never a character in the movies, and she was never addressed at all. She was just their victim in real life. So, so that's Ed and Lorraine in a nutshell.
Yeah, they're just long con grifters.
Yeah.
Who made a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they weren't as attractive as Patrick Wilson and Framage Bitchbaman.
I mean, of course. Yeah. You got to Hollywood them up a little
bit. That's true. But should we thank some patrons?
Let's thank our patrons. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to our Bible study. The study of the Bible is what we do here every week, as you know, if you're showing up every week. But if you're not, well, maybe you should, and then we wouldn't have to explain this every time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I see some of you brought other books, and we will not study them.
No. There's one book and one book only that we recognize. Our library is filled with only this book.
And Jeff over there, I see you brought the Golf Bible, which is close.
That is close. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll allow it.
Okay.
We'll allow it.
This time.
This time. But next week, only bring the Bible. Mm-hmm. Or the golf. No, Bible.
Bible, yes.
Bible. Sorry.
Should we lift up some people in holy prayer holes?
I think there are some holy prayers. We need to lift a few people up here today. Mm. We need to lift up our good friends, Elizabeth and Mary Chan. Let's just raise them to the rafters, put our palms on the bottom of their heels, and just lift them up like we're a cheerleading squad making a cool pyramid. Put them up.
Put them up.
Savanya.
I can't lift my arms without doing the Lion King thing.
Fair enough. Of course.
But I have a prayer request, and this is a huge one. Mm-hmm. It's our spooky season, and we're noticing a lot more demonology, a lot more demons in the world.
It's getting bad because not enough people are reading their Bibles.
Mm-hmm. Like or they're said. Reading their golf Bible instead, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm.
And hey, your game is good. You got, you know, way under par, way meant to, so many times. Mm-hmm. But at what cost?
At what cost?
Your soul.
So I lift up Alyssa to you, O Lord, and we pray that for deliverance from the demon, the spirit of kindness. Alyssa has been very kind and very sweet to people, and obviously this is because of a demon. So we just ask for deliverance.
Amen. Raise him up. And I have a very special prayer request for our good friend James Games-a-Lot, which, ironically enough, he was cursed with a demon who is not very good at games. No matter how much he plays again and again and again. He just can't seem to win. So, James, we ask you, please, please pray for your eternal soul. Come to our Bible study. We'll get rid of that demon, and we'll make sure that you're the top scorer over and over again.
And related, Kim has the demon of being really good at games even when they don't want to play that game. They just touch a controller and all of a sudden are very good at that game. And that is obviously because of a demon. So we lift them up to you, O Lord, for deliverance.
Thank you, Lord. And of course, last but definitely not least, we have to raise up our good friend Jack, who was afflicted with the terrible demon of just being too gosh darn handsome. And it's becoming a problem in their daily life where they just can't go anywhere without everyone just saying, dang, that guy is one handsome cookie.
We rebuke you, devil of handsomeness. Mm-hmm.
Let this guy live his life in peace, please.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I think it's time then that we move on to a Christian rock lyric.
I can't wait to hear it.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
All right, so this rock lyric is another Casting Crowns, returning champion Casting Crowns.
Spooky.
A lot of Christian songs about the devil, so tried to make sure it wasn't what I used before.
Spooky.
But if I have, I'm sorry.
That's true.
It's okay. I don't think I have.
Oh, hi, Jagger.
Buddy.
He looks tired.
This song is called The Devil is on the Run. The battle may be raging, but the war's already won. What? Why would you keep fighting then? The king is on the move and the devil is on the run. It may look like the kingdom of heaven is on its heels, but I found that sometimes how it is not how it feels. Now, the enemy's lies may seem louder than ever before, but child, don't mistake a whimper for a roar. The devil is on the run. Yeah. The battle may be raging, but the war's already won, and so on.
Okay. Just about keeping the devil on his toes.
Keeping the devil on his toes.
I like how they're, casting crowns?
Yeah.
It sounds like they're trying to be like Counting Crows, and then the song is called The Devil is on the Run, which is like, he's running with the devil.
Right.
So they're just trying to like confuse normal people.
Yeah, they're like, you know those DVDs where it's like, similar to a Disney movie, but it's not quite. Like, instead of up, it's like up in a hot air balloon with my friend.
Old man in a balloon.
Yeah. And so you accidentally rent it at the Blockbuster Video.
Yeah. Remember when that was a thing?
Blockbuster Video? No.
Yeah.
Blockbuster Video.
and down. Oh, nope. Anyways, the devil's on the run.
He is on the run. Good for him.
You know who should be on the run?
God.
God.
God. The church.
The church.
Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kyler Tsinis. I'm Kyler Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.